Well, good morning. You all seem very quiet today. Is it one of those mellow days? Is it because of the heat? First heat wave of the summer? Caitlin was looking on the internet because they're going camping this weekend or this week, and she's like, "Look, Dad, there's a warning on the government webpage. It's gonna be so hot this week." And I'm like, "Awesome, good for you." If you haven't met me yet, my name is David. I'm the lead pastor at this church. I would love to meet you. There's faces that come in and out of this place, and often on Sunday morning I don't get a chance to connect with you. I would love to do that. So come and find me after the service. I would love to shake your hand. I'd love to know a name, or if I already know your name, at least put a face to that name. And I think it's important for all of us in church to do this kind of thing. We gather together as the family of God, and sometimes that means there's distant relatives that come in. Sometimes it means that someone new comes and gets married into the family. And it is exciting for me to meet you. I would love to do that. Now, we've been going through this teaching series on the book of Jonah. So if you want to open your Bibles there, we are in the fourth week. Now, before we go there, have you ever watched a movie or a TV series? And then as you're watching the whole thing, like maybe you binge watch it, and you're like six episodes in one evening, and you're like, this is an incredible season. And you get to the end after the whole thing, and then it ends with no resolution. And you're like, what? Like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, wait. I paid attention all the way through. Like, I didn't miss things. I wasn't like falling asleep on the couch or anything. I was like engrossed in this. And we get to the end and it ends like that. Like, it just ends. Like, who knows what I'm talking about? You've been there. Yeah, a few of you. You've been there. Now, often I have so many questions. Like, Did they get back together? Right, ladies? Like, that's an important part of the story. Or did the good guy live? Or did the bad guy actually die? Because I've seen that often in movies where the bad guy's totally dead and it's all resolved, and then suddenly there's a sequel 2 years later, and you're like, what? Like, is that how it actually ends? So do you hate it when something ends like that? Because I totally hate it when that happens. And today I've got really bad news for you, because as we're reading through the book of Jonah, chapter 4. You're not going to like how it ends. Because it ends like that. It doesn't resolve. It's the weirdest cliffhanger in the whole Bible, in probably most of the stories I've ever seen. It's just this, are you serious? This is how it ends? In Jonah chapter 4. So today we're going to conclude the message series, and I think this is the most difficult chapter of Jonah for me to preach. And I would assume the same, that it would be one of the most frustrating for you to hear. Now that I got you excited about this, right? Good finish. let's review how we got to this place. So chapter 1. Do you remember the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, go and preach to the Ninevites because their wickedness has come before me. And what did Jonah do? He hated the Ninevites because they were evil. And so he got on a ship going the wrong direction. God sent a storm and the sailors got freaked out. And then they threw Jonah overboard and God provided a big fish that swallowed Jonah up. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, Jonah's inside this fish and he prayed, and God had mercy. And then the fish vomited Jonah up on the shore. Like we called it beach barf. God had mercy on Jonah. Everybody say, God had mercy. Yeah, say it again. God had mercy. God had mercy because the fish vomited him out of the mouth. And when you think about it, that fish had two distinct exits, different exits. And we'll see what I'm saying here is God had mercy on the one that he chose. That old boy could have come out the other side, right? And then we would have called it like waves of waste. Ooh. Or maybe tide turd. No? Are you allowed to say that on the stage? I don't know. Work with me. God had mercy on Jonah, and the fish vomited him up on dry land. Well, that took us to chapter 3, and here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Do you remember that from last week? How many of you are thankful that God is the God of second chances? Like, I'm totally there with you. God is a God of second chances. He doesn't just call, but he calls back. And so what did Jonah do in our story? He finally obeyed God. He wasn't happy about it, but he preached. He went through the city and he preached a very short, very direct message. Basically, it was turn or burn. And if you have 40 days to repent of your sins, or God's going to destroy you. And he preaches this message to all the Ninevites, and they actually turn. Like, these evil people actually turn. And then God responds to their repentance. Here's how he responds. When the evil people turn from their sins, chapter 3 tells us this. This is how they respond. When God saw the Ninevites, the very last verse, when God saw the Ninevites, what they did and how they turned and how they repented from their evil ways, God relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. Wow. Wow. When they repented, God relented. And they turned from their sins, and God had mercy on some of the most people, most evil people who have ever walked on planet Earth. And when they even when they didn't deserve it, but they repented, God relented. And the whole nation, from the king, the richest, to the very poorest, they turned to God. And then how do you think Jonah responded? Jonah was the preacher, and this national or this citywide revival breaks out. Now, I'd have to tell you this. If I preached, say God called me to stand on the street corner, and I just stood on the little corner downtown, and I preached, and the entire city turned to God, like all 30,000 people in this little city, if they turned to God, like, I'd be pretty excited. I'd be worshiping. I'd be like, God, you are incredible. All the things, you are incredible, God. And here was Jonah. He preached in the city, and that's what they did. They repented. They turned to God. Revival broke out. And what did he do? Jonah wasn't happy. He wasn't worshiping. In fact, he was ticked off. Jonah 4:1, it tells us this. But Jonah, to him, this seemed very wrong. And he became, say it aloud with me, angry. He became angry. Now, the word angry there, I think it's kind of a weak translation, in my opinion. The Hebrew word is a very, very strong word. It doesn't mean slightly ticked off. Like, he wasn't just like, I need to cool off and then I can come back and do this again. Like, it's not that. He was raging mad. He was furious. I'd like to call it like flaming hot Cheetos kind of mad. Like the angry guy with the road rage that doesn't just yell, but he actually gets out of his car, and then you realize that he's actually holding something in his hand, and he comes to the window and you're like, I'm gonna run this red light because it's all I got left. Like, it's that kind of mad. He was livid. This isn't fair. They were the evilest people, and God, you're relenting on them. God, this isn't fair. And then he prayed out loud to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? I told you this was going to happen. This is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. And he says this, and then he's going to complain about the most beautiful attributes of God. God, I knew you were like this. And this is what bothers me about you, God. You're applying it to them. Like, I like it when you apply your grace to me, but I don't like it when you apply your grace to them. And this is what he says of God. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Maybe pause there for a moment. God, I know you're a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. This is the God we serve. We serve a compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. He says, a God who relents from sending calamity. And then Jonah says this. He says, hey, I don't like what you're doing, God, so take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. If you're going to let these evil people off, I don't even want to live to see it. It's Jonah, the prophet of God, he says this. And I want us to slow down for a minute and acknowledge that there's a lot of drama going on here. You're being really quiet. Like, are you with me? There's a lot of drama going on here. Right? Like, this is God, and he's going to throw this fit because God did what God always does. And I think it's really easy to throw Jonah under the bus until you put yourself in his shoes. Remember in week one where I told you about the Ninevites, how they would rape the women, and then they would murder the kids, and then when they would take over an area, they would torture the men like in brutal ways, and I don't even want to say how they did it again. And the experts tell us, they say it's possible. In fact, it's more than possible, it's most likely that some of Jonah's family, maybe his mom and dad or his grandma and grandpa, some close relatives, maybe his kids, it's very, very likely that some of his family members were tortured and killed by the Ninevites, by the Assyrians. He probably had firsthand visual references to the atrocities that they did. He probably watched it happen. And so, when you're looking at Jonah, we need to realize the history. There's history in every conflict. So give him a little bit of credit, because we have to acknowledge Jonah eventually did the will of God, right? And God told him to go and preach to the Ninevites, and he did the will of God, but he wasn't happy about it. And what did he preach? 40 days from now, you better turn or God will destroy you. And Jonah, he shows us a problem that many of us have. You might have it, but I know there's times when I have it. And it's this. He shows us that it's possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. It's possible to do what God wants, but to do it with the wrong attitude or with the wrong motives. And I know, sometimes we all do that. Okay, God, I'll do this because you told me to. I'm not going to like it, but you said so I guess I'll do it. Or I'll do the right thing, but I might do it with the wrong motives. It could be in any of a number of different ways in your life. You'll give God what he asks you to give, but you don't really want to, so you're not doing it with a cheerful heart. Or God, I'll do my Bible reading. Like, I'll get up and do my devotions because you said I need to make this a routine, but I'm only doing it because I don't want to lose my streak. Like, the Bible app counts how many days in a row you've done this. I don't want to lose my streak. I'm not doing it because I want to read the Bible. I want to do it because then I can say it's on my checklist. I've done it. I'll forgive what they did because you told me I have to. But I'm not going to forget what they did. I will never put myself in that situation ever again. I've forgiven them because you said so. But I'm not going there. Got quiet in there, didn't? I'll go to church. God, I'll show up. But I come late and I leave early. Or I have other appointments. There's important things that are happening on a Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, I gotta leave early. You know, we have company coming over. Lunch has gotta be ready. The problem is the people who need to hear this are probably not the people who are here today. So, thank you. You're being obedient. You're listening to God. You're saying, sometimes life is hard, but I will be here because I know God and I want to be with him and his family. Have you been there? How many of you know it's possible to do the will of God without the heart of God? Our story continues. Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. It tells us this. Jonah had gone down and sat at a place. Now where did he say? Say it aloud. East of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen in the city. So he preached, and then he got out of town, and he went east of the city. I've underlined it because it's interesting that this very specific direction is in this story. Because often, one more time, what direction did he go? He went east of the city. This is important because in the Bible, anyone who travels east, it's often a picture or represents moving towards exile or moving towards bondage. Many times in Scripture, when someone travels east, they're moving away from God's will into exile or bondage. Let me just show you a few examples so you can see it. Genesis chapter 3. Because of Adam's sin, God sent Adam out of the garden. To which way? The east. Genesis 4. Cain left the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod. And where was Nod? It was east of Eden. Genesis chapter 13, when Abraham and Lot parted, Lot, he chose to go which direction? East again, to Sodom. Was Sodom a good place or a bad place? Yeah, bad enough that they didn't do what the Ninevites did, and they didn't. The fire came down, it was horrible. He went to the wrong place. Ezekiel 8, it says, with their backs turned towards the temple of the Lord, men faced away from the temple towards what? Towards the east, and they worshiped the sun. So what did Jonah do? The prophet who didn't obey God and then obeyed God with impure motives, and then he went to the east, symbolizing that he probably is not trusting God again. And when I read this, it gets personal. When you look at it, Jonah was the prophet, and he claimed God. All through the scripture, you see him. He calls God by the name Lord. The Lord this, Lord this. He claimed God as his own. But in this case, he turned his back to God. God, I claim you and your ways. But once again, he turns his back to God, which shows us that it's possible to claim God, yet live with your back to him. And I say this with a heavy heart. But it's not uncommon to see that in the church today. People say, hey, he saved me. And they want to know Jesus as his Savior, but they don't want to make him Lord of their life. I want him to do what I want him to do, but I'm going to turn my back and then do whatever I want to do. And Jesus even said this. He said, one day people are going to be like, hey, I called you, and you did these works. I did these works in your name, Lord. I went to church in your name, Lord. I did all these good things, Lord. And Jesus will say, no. You had your back to me. You may have said and done it, but we didn't know each other. It's really, really easy to want him to be Savior, but not know him as Lord. And I wonder if anybody here, and can I just say it pastorally because I love you and I care about you. Do you claim God with your lips and then live with your back towards him? The good news is all you have to do is turn. All you have to do is turn because we serve a gracious and compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. It's his character. Our God is so good. So here we have Jonah, and I'm actually starting to understand him. Because well, the reason I understand him is because I see a little bit of myself in him. Right? Jonah's being a big baby. Like, let's just put it bluntly, he's being a big baby. How many of you here are ever a big baby? Hey, don't lift your hands, just poke the person next to you, right? If Lisa was here, I'd have a sore ribs. He's hurt. Jonah's got his feelings hurt. He's mad because he's a guy and he doesn't know how to process these feelings. So he's angry. He's uncomfortable. And he's now baking in the hot sun. And Jonah 4:6 says this. We're going to see the Lord provide a couple of things. Remember, the Lord provided a fish. And now we're going to see him provide three more things. The Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his comfort. We serve a gracious God. And Jonah was what? He was very happy about the plant. Very happy. So first God provided a fish to save Jonah, and then God provided a plant to cover him, and he was very happy. Now when it says he was very happy, again, I don't think the word happy translates well from Hebrew. Because the Hebrew word is wayisma, and it means rejoice greatly, and that's not even enough. It's like exceedingly overjoyed. Like this isn't the, I did the laundry and I found $20 in my pocket. It's not that kind of joy. It's like my grandmother inherited to me a couple $1 million, kind of happy. Like this is over the top, I didn't expect it, and now incredible, like dance for joy, even though I'm one of those non-emotional guys that doesn't move. Like, that kind of exceedingly happy. And why was he very happy? Because God eased his discomfort. Because God did something for him. He was very happy. And not because of the people that turned to God, but because God did something for him. See, as we go through the story, it hasn't changed. It's still all about him. And that's the part that makes me uncomfortable in this story. Because sometimes I see that in myself. Jonah loved receiving the provisions, the blessings from God. But do you know what God was about to do? Now, let me tell you, because I'll foreshadow it. God was about to teach him a lesson. Jesus is a good teacher. God wants to promote us by sometimes allowing us to pass some tests. And he's about to give Jonah a little object lesson. And Jonah, probably like all of us, didn't really like lessons. Jonah wanted to skip God's lessons and go straight into God's blessings. Been there? We don't want the hard stuff. We don't want the discipline. We don't want the ritual and the repetitiveness and the hard work. We don't want to be patient and that whole being conformed to the image of Christ. The blessed are those who are persecuted. Perseverance will help finish the person and change their way, conform them to Jesus. No. He didn't want any of that, but God was about to teach him this lesson. Even though he didn't want it. So, what did God do? He provided a plant. And Jonah began to become comfortable in the shade. And here's what I've noticed. About the time you start to get comfortable is when God has a way of stretching your faith. The moment we start to get comfortable, okay, God, I think I got this. You're teaching me. I'm going to where you need me to. I'm like, let me relax for a minute. And God tends to teach us that we still need him. So we're going to see in this story that God is going to provide two more things. Verse 7 tells us this. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. God provided a fish, a plant, and a worm, which chewed up the plant so it withered. Like I told you, the story is kind of weird. We're talking the God of the cosmos, the guy who speaks and makes planets, and now it's just God provided a worm. It's going to get weirder. Like, this is just weird stuff. It's God's living word, it's powerful, it's true, and it's weird. Can we just say that? You're looking at me like you're afraid. That's okay, don't worry. God works through all things. God even works through weird things. He is God, and God provided a worm which chewed the plant so it withered. When the sun rose, watch this, God provided what? A scorching, there it is, east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And Jonah again wanted to die and said, it would have been better for me to die than to live. Did you see that? Like, dude's having another pity party. Jonah's being like drama king, right? Drama llama, if you're a teenager. I mean, he's being a baby, or this is pathetic. But before we criticize him for his emotional roller coaster, I just want to tell you right now, I love that the Bible includes all of these details about his emotions, because it makes this real. He's all over the place. He's up and he's down. He's disobeying God and he's worshiping God and he's praising God and he's mad at God and he's yelling and he's all over the place. And I don't know about you, and I'm not one that expresses it very visually all the time, but I know, especially on the inside, I can be like that. Like, this was so real to me that I even looked it up on the internet, looked at some expert research on his personality, right? Like, is this guy just one of those edgy people? To just kind of measure the historic Jonah against today's common personality types and struggles, that mindsets that people are going through. And one source said that he had three possible root issues to this very complicated behavior. And I want to show you what these are. And see if you can find yourself, if you can see yourself in any of these, because I didn't see myself at all in them. The first one is this. He had erratic mood swings, ranging from courageous obedience to extreme dissatisfaction and anger, suggesting that he had an underlying frustration, and to solve that frustration, he had the need to control. Okay, check for me. It's okay, it's only one, right? Okay, the next one, it said this. He had entitlement tendencies, focusing on his own views of justice, what he thought justice was, and expecting God and others to operate within the parameters, the boundaries that he defined. Yep, I got two of those. Third one, he had depressive symptoms manifesting through feelings of burnout, sadness, anger, and hopelessness. I don't know about you, but the good news for me is that it's not true today. Maybe yesterday. Maybe last week a few times. It's easy to criticize this guy's emotional tantrums, all the drama. But I get it. And I want to talk to those of you who are real enough to admit it. You might sometimes as well, because I can obey God with great faith in one moment, and then I can ignore God and do my thing in the next. I can be in the presence of God, worshiping him with this passionate, authentic, heartfelt adoration, and then the next day I'm apathetic. Like I act like he doesn't even exist. And I can be completely obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then God prompts me to say something. And the next day, I'm like walking through the mall and I'm like, yeah, that's not God. I'll just keep going. I hate the lessons. But oh, I love the blessings. I can relate. And so what does God do? God provides the shade, and the next day he provides the worm. And the worm eats the plant, and so Jonah is going like, okay, God, what's going on? What's up? The sun is about to kill me, pouring on my head with this east wind blowing, and God, this is unbelievable. Like, after I even did what you told me to do, after all I've done for you, I risked my life, I preached to those evil people because you told me to. And here we are at the end of the story, and I want to read you how the series ends. Because there's no chapter 5. There's no next season coming. It just ends. And you ready for it? Because it stinks. It just ends. It's like this finale cliffhanger. But God does get the last word. And here goes. Here's the ending. Get ready. Don't miss it. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah's like, yeah, it is. I'm so angry. I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. Now I'm the Lord of the plant, God says. Why are you so freaked out about it? And shouldn't I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people? People who need the grace of God. All these people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand. And also so many animals. There it is. It's over. Good job. You got to the end. And also so many animals. The plane just lands there. Don't miss that last line. It's crucial to the whole story, I would assume. Why else would God put it in there? And so many animals. Like, come on, God. You're the author and finisher of our faith, and this is how you end the story? Like, I need something better than that. I want more. Like, come on, God. Did you change Jonah's heart? Like, I want to know, did he submit to the things of God and say, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong? I just want to live for you. Did he die out there in the wilderness? And if he did, how? Like, did he get mercury poisoning from the fish? Did the worm eat him? Like I want to know. Here's the ending. And also many animals. So God says to him, Jonah, if you're going to throw a fit over a plant and cry over a plant, but you won't cry over those people who don't know me, like, come on, Jonah. And sadly, this is another way that many of us can be like Jonah. Because the last thing that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven, maybe you remember, hey, disciples, right? The Jesus followers, those of you who've seen the resurrection, those of you who've been transformed, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always until the very end. His last words, like, go into all the world. And I know a lot of church folk that struggle with crossing the street to share the gospel. Go into all the world. I'm okay. I'm okay, God. Like, if you save me, but I'm not going. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to practice the blessed practices. Like, seriously, again. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to serve. Like, I'm doing enough by just showing up. Like, God, I did that. I'm happy to receive from God. I come here to be fed. but I'm going to reject the mission of God. I told you chapter 4 is tough. No, God. When I volunteer, it's the things that I want to volunteer for. Right? I'm the guy on the tools. I'm the guy who gets to make the decisions. If I don't want to do it, find yourself another volunteer. Tough stuff. Not my will, but I really don't want your will if your will involves my sacrifice. Chapter 4 is weird. And it's complicated. So let's do this. Let's go back to where we started. If you can remember all the way back to week one, I'm going to ask you today the same question that I asked you when we started this story. And I said it playfully then, but most of you missed it. This time I want you to get it. There's a main character in the book of Jonah. I'll give you a hint, it's not Jonah. We talk a lot about him, but he's not the main character. Who's the main character of this book? Yeah, God. The Lord is the main character. And Jonah has issues, just like you and me, just like every single one of us. And I want you to notice this. Jonah's attitude never changed God's character. The way he acted, no matter what he did, no matter how he did it, no matter how he complained, no matter how he rebelled, God was still God, and that didn't change. Why? Because our God is always a gracious and compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. Who is our God? Our God is always gracious and compassionate. He's slow to get angry when we disobey him. Why? Because he's abounding, he's overflowing in love. In other words, I want you to understand this. This is not something God does. This is who he is. It's his nature. It's who he is. Our God is a gracious, compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. And so why did we spend 4 weeks in Jonah? Like, it's not a big book. There's not really that many details in there. Well, it is an amazing story. Jonah actually points us to the New Testament. And Jesus points us back to the Old Testament. We looked at it a couple weeks ago in Matthew 12, where Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, guess what? So the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And then Jesus said this. He said, and now something greater than Jonah is here. What's greater than Jonah? It also starts with a J. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the perfect one. He's the Lamb of God. Virginia said it with the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that was already paid. The door through which we enter, the water which quenches our thirst. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the soon returning, conquering King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He's greater than Jonah because Jonah ran from God. But Jesus surrendered to him. Jonah fought for his own will. And Jesus said, God, I want your will. Jonah couldn't stomach the sinners. Jesus said, I came for them. He ate with them. He loved them and he died for them. Why? Because Jesus had the heart of God. And our God is gracious and compassionate, who is slow to anger and abounding in love. And so for some of you, you might be a bit like Jonah. Sometimes you're close to God, and sometimes you ignore him. Sometimes you worship him, and sometimes you don't like the way he does business. Sometimes you're happy, and sometimes you're sad. And someone right now, you might be afraid and worried and anxious, and you're not alone. You feel like you're battling depression, you're losing hope. And maybe even as I'm speaking to someone who's a little bit like Jonah, when you're not even sure if life is worth continuing. And today I want to declare it to you. I want you to hear it, not from me, but hear it from heaven when I tell you this. You are never alone. Our God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And even when you feel helpless, with our God, you are never hopeless. Our God is for you. Because the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God doesn't just call, but he calls back. Our God is a God of second chances. And so for some of you, God is going to give you a chance today. He's giving you another chance. You might be a little bit like this, and it's just one turn towards him. And he's there. He's going to give you another chance to obey, another chance to call on him, another chance to repent, another chance to say, God, I need you. I want to be close to you. He's going to give you another chance. But before you take that chance, I want you to remember that every chance from God demands a choice from you. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. So what are you going to do about who God is? And remember, who is our God? Our God is gracious and compassionate. Slow to anger and abounding in love. That's who our God is. Mary Rose, would you come and play the piano for us? Kind of ease the tension in the room with some beautiful music. Can we pray together? A response to this magnitude. I don't think it can happen just in a moment. It requires a lifetime. But I know often I need a push. I need someone else to say, ready, set, go, to start it off. So today I want to give you that opportunity, right? The opportunity to choose your response to what God is calling. So let's pray together. Father God, we worship you. We honor you. We give you praise. We thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit, would you do a work in the hearts of people today? And as we're praying, I want to talk to those of you who would say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm going to guess that for almost all of you, you're a little bit like me, and there's some area in your life where you've got that door closed. You say, God, don't go in that closet. I'm not ready to give that up yet. It could be that you're not really seeking him in his word, or you're not praying faithfully, or you're not using your gifts to serve because it's just too painful to go into that place again, or to make a difference, or you're not in the right relationship with someone, or God prompted you to do something. It's some area of your life right now that you know you could be closer to God. And so our prayer is going to be really, really simple. Jonah consistently would dishonor and disobey God's word and his will, and then and other times he would obey. And this will be very, very simple, and it's this. How many of you want to be right in the middle of the will of God today? And if that's you, we're going to pray. And I've got to warn you, if you want to be in the middle of the will of God, it's you that's got to move. Do you hear me? If you want to be in the middle of God's will, God has never moved. He will always be the same. It's time for you to move. Your turn. Turn towards him. Take that action step. So if you'd say, yeah, I really do. I want to know Jesus. I want to be in the middle of God's will. I want to give up those things. And you lifted your hand up. Just even as an act of worship, would you do it again as we pray? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? God, any place, any area, any part of my life that's not surrendered to your lordship, would you convict me? Would you convict us? God, show us. God, direct us. God, reveal it to us. And then we'll repent. We'll turn to you. God, we thank you that when we turn to you, we're going to find a gracious, compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. So show us any area of our lives not in line with your will, and we will be faithful to obey. And church, if you're comfortable with this, just say it out loud. This is your prayer. I will be faithful to obey. Just say that to God. I'll be faithful to obey you. I'll be faithful to obey you, God. I will be faithful. As you keep praying, I'm so thankful that on this day there will be those of you whose lives are changed forever. Because who is God? He's a compassionate God, a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love. And it's God's will that no one would perish. And so what did God do? He became one of us. He sent his son Jesus, who was perfect in every way. And Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came for the sinners. Jesus came for the people like Jonah. The ones who say they follow God and have all these actions of obedience but are missing the heart. He came for people like me. And what did he do, Jesus? Jesus took our sin nature. He took on all of our sin. He died on the cross. And 3 days later, when people went looking for him, the stone was rolled away. Jesus wasn't there. He was risen because God defeated death and hell and the grave. And now Scripture tells us the good news about our compassionate and gracious God, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved, no matter what you've done. You might be like Jonah. You call on him, you're saved. You might be like the sailors who disobeyed and didn't even know God, and they called on him and they were saved. You might even be like the Ninevites, like the king, like the most evil people that ever existed. God, you don't know my past. He does. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Today there's those of you that don't even know where you stand with God. Like if I had a conversation with you and said, Where are you at with him? I don't know. Like, I try and do good stuff. And the bottom line is every single one of us have sinned, and our sin separates us from God. You can't work your way to him. You can't just put your head down and do the task. Because it's not about the task. It's about the relationship. Something we can't do for ourselves. So today, the response, just turn the other way. Turn towards God. Repent of sin. Turn towards him and surrender. And when you do, all of heaven rejoices. God makes you brand new. And all of your sins are completely forgiven. So today, for those of you who say that's me, I'm turning towards God, I'm turning towards Jesus, and I'm turning away from my sin by faith. It's no longer about me, it's about His will, today by faith. Would you do a repeat after me prayer? Just to get your body involved with where your heart is now. Father God, I'm turning away from my sin by faith. It's no longer about me. It's not my will. It's your will. Today, by faith, I give my life to you. Don't just save me. Be Lord of my life. Be first in every way. Fill me with your Spirit so that I could know you and serve you and follow you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own because I give it to you. My compassionate, gracious, slow to anger God, who's abounding in love, thank you for loving me. You have all of me. In Jesus' name, amen. I know this is weighty stuff. It's a hard chapter. It's a hard book. It's a hard finish. And so did the animals. I want to give us a corporate response. Ashley, Hannah, wherever you are, would you come up, Heather? We're going to close in a song of praise. And this isn't a yay, joyful kind of rejoice. It's a, you know what, when life is tough, when things are difficult, when it's hard, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to sing a praise to God anyways. Because we know His character. I mean, even Jonah said it. He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. So if you would stand with our wonderful band, and would you sing this just as a response to say, yeah, hallelujah.